Does so richly to thank brothers. First of all, I hadn't had breakfast yet, so y'all just work with me. Normally, I hadn't had my donuts or coffee, so we're going to get it together. But I want to thank Brother Travis for the invitation and for the fine leadership here. Always, it's great to be. I think I'm an unofficial member of Greenville Avenue, and I will take that if y'all will have me. And I love coming to this congregation. I think you all are a model church, just a pleasure. As always, just want to give honor to your fine minister, Brother Gibbs. And he's always been someone I've looked to as an example of someone who God has used and has been an example to so many. So I want to thank you, Brother Gibbs. And it's always humbling to stand here and all of your fine ministers, Brother Bradshaw, Brother Myers, Brother Worthy, all of the elders, just all of the brethren here, all of you who we have seen and fellowship with throughout the years. It's just a blessing for being here, and I don't take this lightly. So I'm really excited to be here this morning. And last week we just finished up, I was excited, was back home at Figueroa doing a revival there, and I'm equally as excited this morning to be back here with you all for a youth sermon. I know people often say that a youth sermon, well, it's just different, or you water it down. I think a youth sermon is, I try not to give just a youth sermon. Each week I try to speak where the youth can understand it. I believe you can understand algebra and chemistry and all these other things. You ought to be able to understand what Christ wants you to do for your life. So hopefully this morning I can say some things that can encourage our youth. But I don't think it'll just be limited to the youth, but I hope it can be for the adults as well. I want to say last time we were here was for the service of Botham. And I just want to, Greenville Avenue, you all represented not just yourself, but the church well. And I think, and I'm sure you've already been commended for that, but it was just a wonderful thing to see that the church came together and in this place being on a national stage, everything was great. And God bless you for that. And again, this is just a wonderful congregation to be in this morning. I still can't believe y'all got this many people out at 8 o'clock. I'm going to use this just to make the Sunday school argument next week. But it's good to see all of you. I wasn't even expecting this, but that's all right. I have my wife and my girls with me. Where are y'all at? Right there. Glad to have them with me this morning. And I know we have some youth that are coming over to the 10 to 45 service, so we look forward to seeing you. And I'm just glad to be here with you all day. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to look at Romans chapter 6. And then I don't know how many of you know me or see me preach. I like to use illustration. And for this morning, I have an illustration that I want to use to make my point. And I'm going to be mindful of the time, and there's Sunday school following, so I'm just glad to be here this morning, and again, it does my heart good to see all of you. So again, thank you, Brother Travis. Thank you, all of you, for allowing me to be here this morning to speak to you, and it's just been a blessing. Also, I want to mention, too, my brother. It's good to be on the program with my brother, leading singing. We've been singing like we've been doing that for a long time, and so it's good to have him, and he truly is a testament to the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is a sermon this morning that I know I've heard a lot of sermons throughout the years, but I really wish this sermon was preached to me the way I'm going to try to preach it to the young people this morning. There is a lot to be said in just one simple verse. This morning, for the sake of time, I don't have time to get into a lot of the background of it, but I just want to make a point today that I hope it will stick with your minds throughout this week and hopefully for the rest of your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse number 33, a verse that many of us are familiar with, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company," or evil communication, I'm reading from the New King James Version, "it corrupts good habits, good morals, good manners." Paul was telling us that there's some things that we've got to look for in our journey. And one of the things, one of the tools that Satan has been using since the beginning of time is deception. And it began in the garden. And deception just truly, or just plainly means when somebody promises something that they do not deliver on. Satan promises a lot that he cannot deliver on. And you remember when he's throwing the same three pitches he was throwing in the garden: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. The fruit looked good to the woman, and she thought that it would make her wise as a god. And he's throwing the same three pitches today. And John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm afraid today that a lot of our young people are being deceived. We think that the world is offering us some things, whether it be television, whether it be movies, whether it be the internet. And let's be honest, that technology and the advances in technology can be both good and bad. The internet in itself is not bad. We use the internet to spread the gospel. We use the internet to get the message of Christ out now in a way that we could not have done years ago. But also that same internet is used for human trafficking, and it's used for predators, and it's used for pornography, and it's used in a lot of different negative tools. So I think it's our job as parents and as leaders and as influencers in the life of our youth to guard all of the things, all those influencers in their lives. And Paul is trying to warn us is that we ought not to be deceived, because our communications matter. It matters what you join yourself to. Remember in Luke chapter 15, the youngest son who thought he had something entitled to him, he left his father's house. And the Bible said he went into the far country, and there he joined himself. And be careful what you join yourself to, because everything that looks good to you is not good for you. There are some angels in disguise, and this morning I want some of our older members to help me out, and every now and then, if you kind of agree with what I'm saying, just so our young people will know that I'm not just up here saying some stuff, just nod your head and just say amen just a little bit. Because our young people need to know that Satan has some devices out there, and everything that looks good to you is not good for you. Everything that sounds good to you does not produce righteousness and does not produce holiness in your life. So you got to be careful who you have joined yourself to. Some adults have learned this the hard way. In marriage, you join yourself just because she looked good, and just because she wore those heels, and just because he had muscles, or just because he drove a certain thing, and everything that looks good is not productive for you. And so I want to go over to Romans chapter 6. And Romans talks about this. Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What shall we say then? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, shall we sin? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey? Whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, this is verse number 17 of chapter 6, yet you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Having been set free from sin, you became a slave to righteousness. Now, I always say in your life, you're going to be a slave to something. Paul says either you're going to be a slave to sin or you're going to be a slave to righteousness. And I want to tell you, young people, this morning, the most important aspect of your life is your ability to choose. And I want you to know this morning, you always have a choice. You got a choice, and I don't want anybody to take away my ability to choose. I could choose what I put on this morning, and I chose the route from Mansfield, Texas to Richardson, Texas, and I could choose what I wanted to eat, and I can choose my associates, and I can choose the college that I want to go to, and hopefully I can choose the spouse that I want to marry. And God has given us the blessing of choice, but that same element of choice has destroyed a lot of people. Because believe it or not, we've got a lot of young people out here who are making bad choices. And sometimes the young people are making bad choices because the people who are in charge of them and the people who are supposed to raise them and the people who are supposed to model good choices in front of them have not done their job. And so a lot of times parents and adults, we blame the youth, but all the time they're just doing what they've seen us do, and they carry that same destructive cycle of not being able to make the right decisions in their lives. And let me tell you something, it all begins with a choice. And sometimes in life we begin to blame the devil about everything, and everything is not the devil. I'm broke because of the devil. It ain't the devil. You just need to get a budget. Oh, it's the devil, and I'm under satanic attack. I read in Job that the Satan can't even get to you because God has got that hedge of protection around you, and nothing happens without it getting past God.
And once I begin to learn to own my choices in my life, I really begin to get power in my life. And there's always two roads that you can take in life. But the difference is the choice that you make. And I like to think of the choice as one single link this morning. Because remember, you're going to be a slave to something. And I got up this morning and I made a choice. And in your life, you made choices. And I tell people all the time, I'm just one bad choice of being the person that I never thought I could be. That's why I say I've been in the church 30 years. It takes one bad choice to ruin your reputation. It takes one bad choice to destroy your family. It takes one bad choice to find yourself take 10 steps back from a place that you thought you had come from. And so it's all about one choice. I often say, people say, I'm trying to lose 50 pounds. You don't lose 50 pounds by worrying about losing 50 pounds. You lose 50 pounds by making a choice at dinner what you're going to eat today. Because all you got is today. All you have is the choice that is right in front of you. But if you continue to make the right choices, what you begin to do is you begin to join yourself to something. And I like to think of an acronym this morning of chains, because all of us are creating chains in our life. And the first C would be a choice. You made a choice this morning, and I made a choice to follow God. When I gave my life to God, when I obeyed the gospel, I believe it was at age 13. I done forgot now, but whatever age it was, I made a choice to follow God. And what that meant is when I make a certain choice, that means I've got to make a sacrifice. One half of knowing what you want is knowing what you must give up in order for you to get it. In other words, you've got to make a sacrifice. You understand that if I'm going to follow Christ, I learned that there were some parties and stuff I couldn't go to. There were some friends I couldn't be around. There's some stuff that I just can't watch. You know, I remember back when I was younger, I used to be able to watch those scary movies. But something changed in me. You know, I used to could watch them, and you know, but as I get older now, I remember watching, I think it was Michael Myers, a Halloween or something, and I was watching the movie, and after the movie went off, it was dark, and I started seeing stuff in the corner. And I was looking around and paranoid, because as I get older, I got to make different choices. Brother Bradshaw, I used to like to go to Six Flags and get on the Texas Giant, but I can't make that choice no more because I'm hurting after I get off of it, and it's no longer a thrill. So as you get older, your choices have still got to change, but you still got to understand the power of your choice. You choose, you make a choice, and what happens is those choices, and then you take another link, those choices become habits. And that's that H in that link of the chain, habits. You know, habits are things we struggle with. And all of us got some habits. We just got different habits. That's why you ought not to say, well, at least I don't do this. You do something. There's something that you struggle with. You got a habit that you're working on. Even if your habit is gossiping and talking too much, that's a bad habit because you've chosen to take the information that someone has given you and to relay that to somebody else. And so we've got habits in our lives, and I've had times where I developed some bad habits because I was making bad choices, and that's like somebody starts off smoking a cigarette, and then the cigarette starts smoking them. You start off and you think, every alcoholic became an alcoholic with one drink. Never underestimate the power of one choice. There's some people that died because they went to the wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody said, it only takes one time to get pregnant. And a lot of times those young girls think, oh, he loved me. He don't love you. He ain't paying your bills. He ain't taking care of you. Now you left your whole life to take care of one kid because of one choice at one single moment of desperation or loneliness or whatever it was. It takes one choice. Wish I would have heard this. One choice, whatever major you choose, it might affect you. Whoever you choose to marry to help you raise your kids, wherever you choose to worship, all of these things affect your life. And those choices become habits. And then after a while, habits, you go in and out the habits. And then after your habits, it becomes automatic. In other words, it's just not, you're not an occasional smoker or an occasional drinker. You're now an alcoholic. You're now a chain smoker. You don't just lie sometimes now because you was choosing a lie. Now you're a compulsive liar. You don't just steal pens from your office and paper clips and staplers. Now you are a kleptomaniac. Y'all have anybody agreeable just steal for no reason? You know, you're just stealing stuff just because it's there. You started off just stealing M&M's from Kroger, and now you just take stuff that don't belong to you just because you see it. And it started off as a choice, then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes what you automatically do. And that can go both good and bad. See, I often say that I'm here, I made the choice to follow God, and now, like, on Sunday nights, sometimes I don't feel like coming back on Sunday nights, but I do it, I started doing it out of a habit, and what you learn as you grow, you don't do everything that you feel like. Sometimes you got to do things that you don't feel like doing, and it's easier to act your way into feeling than to feel your way into acting. And that's an important lesson that you can learn on your walk with God. And God will cause you to do some things and call you to places that you don't feel like doing. You don't always feel like doing the right thing. And sometimes I don't always feel like biting my tongue. And sometimes I don't feel like going the extra mile with folks that don't deserve it. But that's part of the choice that I've made to follow Christ. And our young people think that I don't feel like doing it. Can I imagine my mama told me to clean up and I said, I don't feel like it. My daddy said, go to the yard. I don't feel like it. What do your feelings have to do with it? And I think a lot of us, God could use us in a mighty way. God could use us in a bigger way, but we can't get past how we feel. And those choices become habits, and those habits become automatic. And what's after the A? I told you I ain't had my coffee. AI. And that I is now your identity. It's just who you are. Remember in Mark, the man was called the man with the withered hand. He wasn't the withered hand man. You know, it's one thing to say, I lie every once in a while, but I'm not a liar. I steal every once in a while, but I'm not a thief. I cheat every now and then, but I'm not a cheater. In other words, it becomes his identity. It becomes who you are. And let me tell you this, a lot of our young men want to be thug. You ain't no real thug. And Paul even says in Romans chapter 6, what benefit do you have in the things which you are now ashamed of? And in other words, you're going to get old one day. See, where I preach, I say some of y'all didn't stop because you wanted to stop or godly sorrow made you stop, but arthritis made you stop. And life is going to catch up to all of us one day, and nothing lasts forever. And I wish I had some older people in here who could testify to some of our young people. Some of this stuff just look good, but it don't end up nowhere. All it ends up in guilt and shame and heartache and sorrow and a trail of tears left in your life. And you ought to live your life in such a way that you're not ashamed of it. Ain't nothing out there. I say this all the time where I preach. I said, I want somebody to come forward that's been on the streets and tell me how good the streets have been to you. I need one drug addict to come stand up this morning and tell me how good that crystal meth and that cocaine and that crack has been to your soul. I need one man who has five women and tell me how easy that is to keep up with all of that. It ain't no fun being broke. There ain't no virtue in being broke. A lot of times these are choices that we've made in our lives that now become our identity, C-H-A-I-N, and now it is your nature. It is your nature. That's what you automatically go to. That's what you automatically, C-H-A, automatic. It's automatic now. It's automatic. That's what you are. That's your default setting. You go to your sinful nature. And we all know that we all have this duality going on. That flesh which wars against the spirit, and you want to do right in your mind, but your flesh, if you allow it to, as Paul says, you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption, but if you sow to your spirit, you reap what? Everlasting life. And so we've got to understand that's the oldest principle in the book, seed time and harvest. You reap what you sow, you reap the same thing you sow, and you reap later than what you sow. If I put a watermelon seed in the ground, an orange is not going to come up. I reap a watermelon. And that seed that went down in the ground is a tiny little seed. It comes up as a melon. You reap more than what you sow. And that seed that I put in the ground, it's not going to come up tomorrow. It takes some time to germinate. And so sometimes we're suffering not because it's God, not because of the devil, because we made some choices that come back on us. You know, be careful of the choices that you make. Some choices take years to germinate. that years to come back on you. And be careful. We got a lot of guys who made dumb choices in their youth, and now they can't get a job because they got a record, a felony. And no matter how much you transform your life, they'll say they don't even want you anymore. And now you're left to be forced to see, am I going to go back out here and be involved in the same life that I once lived, or am I going to be forced to take a lesser job making lesser money? It's choices that you make in life. Remember, you're going to be joined to something in your life. Where's Trey? I got Trey this morning. Trey looks like a nice young man. And he wants to start off in his life, and I'm sure Trey wants to be something in his life. And these bigger links, just I don't want you to imagine that they're under a microscope and they're enlarged. But these smaller links just represent the choices that Trey has made in his life. Now Trey looks like a nice young man. He's smiling now, but we're gonna see. Just depends upon the choices that Trey makes in his life. Trey is a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. He's part of the youth group. He's a young man. He probably does well in school, but Trey doesn't realize he still has a lot of choices ahead of him. And one thing he had to realize is Satan ain't playing with him. Just about the moment you think you've arrived, Satan says, oh, that's something else. You think you got it. Take heed if you think you are standing, lest you fall. Because none of us got it made. My father should say all the time, unless you've heard him say, well done, that means you have not done well. Yeah, you think you got it made, and oh, I'm just in there. Oh, well, Satan ain't through with you yet. He's going to come at you another way. And so here we let me tighten you up a little bit, Trey, because I don't want you to get away. I know you think that you got it going on, and he's a good young man. But see, y'all don't know every aspect of Trey's life. You know, that's why it's important to have those influencers of church and family. But Trey still has so much coming at him that y'all don't even realize. Trey is struggling with his own identity. He's struggling who he wants to be in Christ. As a young man, there's a lot of temptation out there. And sometimes Trey may not feel like he can talk to anybody about this. But here he is. Trey has chosen. Trey has chosen to disobey his parents, and no matter what your youth workers are telling you, Trey has told him, you're going to be joined to something. And I didn't even give you my title this morning, because I'm going to give it to you right now, and the title is, Who's Holding Your Chain? That's right. All right. Who's holding your chain? That's right. You're going to be tied to something. Paul says a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness, and Paul actually says it's your choice. It's your choice. By the choices you make day in and day out, you are choosing your links. So here's Trey. Trey comes up, and he's a good young man, but he's made some choices in his life. And every time, here you go, every time he chooses to walk away, Satan says, uh-uh. He started off making some links, and he started off skipping class. Then he started off not doing his homework. And then somebody offered him a little hit and a little blunt. He took that. And now he got a girlfriend that his mama don't know about. And he's on the website, www.y'allknow.com. And listen, you ain't got to go to the club because the internet brings it to you. And now he's making all of these choices. And y'all think because Trey puts on a nice black suit and a nice red tie that he's on top of it, but he's still struggling. And so he looks at all of his garbage and his filth, and now he grows up, and God has designed for him to have an intimate relationship with his wife, but he can't do it because he's got too much garbage in his head. He wants to live a good life, and he wants to live a good holy life, and every time he tries to walk away, Satan says, no, come on back, come on back. You've made some choices. You made some choices, and I got you. And you're in the grasp of now. You're struggling with alcoholism, and you're struggling with sin, and you're struggling with these relationships, and nobody knows. And every time you want to walk away from it, Satan says no, because he keeps making these choices in his life that does not allow him to break away from the shackles of Satan. And matter of fact, this is how Satan wants you, young people. He wants you like this. He wants to be able to control you and manipulate you. And we often think that it's about you, but I've learned getting Trey for Satan is not necessarily about Trey. It's about God, because there's a war going on between good and evil. And God and Satan wants to take as many of us young people out, because if he takes the young people out, he knows he takes the future out. If he can get Trey distracted with things that don't matter, he knows that Trey can live his life in a destructive way where Trey can't be a deacon, Trey can't be an elder, Trey can't be influential in the church, because he's messed up his life with the choices, and Satan wants to keep him bound in shackles and in chains. So he's no longer really controlling his life, because he's a slave to his sin. And even if he wants to walk away, go away, he wants to leave, he can't, because he's still not making the right choices. He still hadn't stopped making the wrong choices. He still hadn't cut off. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm so surprised sometimes how many people I see in the church, and this is for adults as well, who still have their old man in striking distance. And I hear they say, you know what? I would have cussed you out 5 years ago. Well, listen, let that go. That old man shouldn't be so close that's the first thing you go to. I tell you what I used to. That old man ought to be dead and gone. Crucified. The flesh and all of the lust of the flesh, that'll be crucified. But Satan wants to have you. Wants to sift you as wheat. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. And every time you try to step away in your life, then here you go. You got all this guilt and you got all this shame and you got all this stuff. And Satan says, you ain't going nowhere. You are now a slave to sin based upon the choices that you made in your life. I own you, buddy. You mine. I got you now. I know you're struggling. As a matter of fact, you're probably struggling and you probably can't even talk to nobody about it, because you know you were raised better than that. You know you were equipped better than that. And the longer you stay with me, the longer you get comfortable. And after a while, you start giving up hope that you're going to escape from this, because I got you. Because of one link, because of one choice, that you never underestimate the power of one choice. One friend, one night, one drink, one ride, one look, one click can change your life. It also works the opposite way, though. See, when you join yourself to Christ, and Trey could take a different route as he is now, and he starts at a young age serving in the Lord. He links it up, and he comes to Bible class, and he learns, listens to the preachers, listens to his teachers, listens to his parents, and he found himself. You know, one thing people often be surprised, just because you live a good life don't mean you weren't exposed to a lot of stuff. As a player in college, I seen a lot of stuff, but I made a choice. And I would go to some of those gatherings. When I see them getting out the weed, I say, it's time for me to go. Somebody say, you know what weed smells like? Of course, I've had a lot of secondhand weed. But I ain't never smoked it. Brother Gibbs, we got people in the church that smoke it. Some of y'all smoked it last night and then came to the Lord's house. You making that choice. You say, I was high. But Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. you making these choices outside your life to do the right thing. And you saved yourself for marriage as God told you to. You were taught what to look for in a Christian spouse. You started studying the Word of God. And you hear Brother Gibbs and Brother Bradshaw and Brother Worthy and Brother Myers. You say, you know what? I think I want to preach. And you start joining yourself to them. You ask them to mentor you. And you ask Brother Travis to be your mentor. And you got all these positive choices in your life. And you chose to study your Word. And you can study even as a young man. You've chosen your friends wisely. And you will not choose anyone who's going to take you away from the will of God. And here you go. Now you join the righteousness. And you got that link up to righteousness. And then sometimes you want to stray away. But then you think, I got the Holy Spirit. I know too much about God. Now, see, I couldn't leave the church right now even if I wanted to. Because I know too much about God. I've been joined to Him. And sometimes even when I want to act crazy, that Spirit says, no. The Holy Spirit is going to constrain you, because I read that the Comforter, he brings you into remembrance of what you have read in the Word of God. And so when I am in the Word of God and trying to live the Word of God and study the Word of God, the Spirit does not work against the will of God. And so when the Spirit of God is in you and you read too much and you know too much and you made the right choices, even when you want to stray, the Spirit ain't going to let you. Because the Holy Spirit is going to constrain you, because you're joined to the right thing. You're going to be a slave to something. But who's holding your chain? Who have you allowed to hold your chain?
When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he says he leads me in the right way. He leads me in the right way, the direction that I want to go. When I make the right choices, when I join in him, he leads me. So here's what happens in your life. God starts blessing you. Do y'all believe that, church, this morning, that God will bless you? God will bless you when you do the right thing, when you live the right way. And sometimes you got to say, man, I can't go to this and I can't do that. And they talking about me and they call me a square and they call me this, that, and the other. And it's so funny. In high school, some of the same kids that were talking about me are the same kids that be calling my office asking me to pray for them. I heard you was a minister. Can you pray for me? Because it ain't cool right now. So I don't fit in right now. But you're going to get old one day. And the choices that you make today, they impact you. Who's holding your chain? Who's holding your chain? There's much more I could say, but I'm going to close. Who's holding your chain this morning? Slave to sin or slave to righteousness? And if you're joined to Christ, he's going to lead you where you need to go. And even he loves you so much that even in spite of the mistakes, all of us make mistakes along the way. But you know what? I'm so grateful this morning for grace. Because when you join to Christ and when he loves you, David made a lot of mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. And God loved him enough. God wasn't going to let him utterly be destroyed. But there's a difference between striving and stumbling and then purposely, consciously living a life outside of the will of God. And all of us got a choice this morning. I know you understand math. You understand. If you understand 10 plus 10, you can understand what I'm saying this morning. Is you're going to join yourself to something. And every time you make the right choices, every time you listen to all those who God has put in your life to guide you, you're making the right choices. Every time you stay connected to Christ, you're making the right choices. Trey, you've been a wonderful help this morning. And you know what? I pray that one day we can look at Trey and say that he was really joined to Christ, literally. I don't want to look at Trey and say, what happened to Trey? Y'all remember that day, that 2018? What month is this? This is September. No coffee. September 2018, and that day we talked about Trey being joined to something, and what happened to him. I'm tired of us saying, what happened to our young men? What happened to them? We say that all the time. What happened to them? Well, they started off, they used to go to the youth conference, but something happened to them. All that happened to them is they begin to make the wrong choices. Sometimes it's not rocket science. Sometimes I say, well, how can we get more young people? We've got to help them make the right choices. Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it. Let's give Trey a hand. He was a great. But even now, as a man with my own family, I'm still joined to something. It doesn't take much to mess up your life. It's difficult to live a good life, but it's a blessing. But it's easy to fall apart. Somebody says, I'm just getting tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. It's paying off in your life. And I pray this morning, maybe there's someone here. I don't know who you are or where you're from or what's going on in your life this morning. Maybe you need to make some better choices in your life. Maybe for some of the young people, and I know this from teaching school, there were a lot of times when parents were even shocked that their kids were doing some of the stuff that they were doing. And they would come to parent-teacher night, and I would be like, your baby is not what you think your baby is. Because we're good at putting up different fronts, different places. But there was a quote by Aristotle who said, be in reality what you appear to be. Be what you appear to be. Like, it's a lot of work putting up a front. It's a lot of work trying to be something that you're not and living a double life with double agent, so to speak. You work for the devil at night and you work for the Lord on Sunday. You work for the devil during the week, but anybody can be good at church. Church is the easiest place to be good. But how do you live your life throughout the week? And I pray this morning that someone could see their life, life choices and how they impact their lives on this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you've not. It all begins with a relationship with Christ. When I gave my life to Christ, people talk about terrorists. I've been dealing with a terrorist since I gave my life to Christ. And he's a roaring lion seeking them, those who he may devour. I'll say this before I go. I'm an outdoorsman, and I like to go to Colorado and different places like that sometime in the summer. And I was looking on the internet one year, and I was trying to find another location. So I was looking in Wyoming, I think Yellowstone National, where Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana meet, I believe. And they had this campaign going online, and it said, the bear don't care. You know, I said, that sounds interesting. The bear don't care. What does that mean? So I begin to look. And it says every year in Yellowstone National Park, tens of hundreds, some years, of people get mauled by bears. And what happens is people get out there on their vacation, and they think that they can, you know, the bear's over there. They want to take a selfie with the bear. So they get as close enough to the bear as they can. And then y'all know how selfie mode is the best thing ever happened to phone. And they try, and the bear mauls them, or they're on their honeymoon and they are camping outside. Anybody who's ever been camping knows rule number one is you don't bring food in your tent. But they bring food in their tent because why? We always think that we are the exception to the rule. And that happens on everything. It ain't gonna happen to me. It won't happen to my family. It won't happen to me. It can happen to any of us. And so they said, the bear don't care. The bear don't care that it's your honeymoon. The bear don't care that you're trying to get a selfie. The bear don't care that you don't know the rules on the outside. What a bear will do, if you enter into the bear's natural habitat, the bear will maul you. The bear will take off your head. Because the bear does not care. And I thought about that. I said, the bear sounds a lot like somebody I know. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be careful, your adversary. Satan is as a roaring lion. I know it's the difference between a bear and a lion, but he is out there seeking those who he might what? Devour. In other words, Satan is not trying to hurt your feelings. Satan is not trying to bruise you. He's not trying to make you sad or depressed or just ruin an aspect of your life. Satan is trying to ruin your life, trying to destroy your soul, and he don't care that you're struggling. He don't care that it was your first time. He don't care that nobody talked to you. He don't care that your daddy wasn't there. He don't care that you was hurt. He wants to take your soul, and when you realize that Satan is not playing with you, you'll get your life together and you'll make the right choices. Because that bear don't care about you. Let me tell you something. The people that care about you are not on the streets. They're not in your school. They're not your friends or your fake friends on Facebook. The ones who care about you are your mom and your dad and those who are sacrificing daily and those that are in the church who are trying to train you and develop you in the way that you need to go. Because that bear out there don't care. Satan don't care nothing about none of us. The moment we can get there, we'll stop feeling sorry for ourselves when we're under satanic attack. He don't care that you're in your feelings. Some of us let Kiki get us in all in our feelings. You better get out of your feelings. He don't care about you being in your feelings. Oh, I'm struggling. He don't care. He wants you to struggle. But if you were praying, if you're in your word, if you're surrounding yourself with positive people, if you're joining yourself to people who are going somewhere and doing something, then it's good to look up and see your classmates doing well. People you went to school with, it reinforces that, I made the right choices in my life. And I ain't out of the woods yet. None of us are. Because you got to be faithful unto death. You got to keep making the right choice. All that happens when you get older, you just got to start making different choices. As my parents are older now, they're moving into a different realm. They got to start making senior citizen choices. I can't make teenage choices. I have a growing family. I got to start making different choices. I'm a minister. I got to make certain choices I can't make. And isn't it funny how we expect different things out of the men of God that we don't even make for our own lives? I want my leaders to be holy and righteous, which they should, but are you holy and righteous? You gotta be in Christ. It all begins by being in Christ. Maybe there's a young person this morning or an older person. I don't know who you are, where you've come from. It all begins having a relationship with Christ, being joined to Christ. That's where it all begins, and that's where it ends for those of us who know God. And it begins by hearing the word. It's the gospel. It's the good news, and we ought to teach it like it's good news. Jesus, a man ordained before the foundation of the world, was sent into the world to save the world, that you and I might have hope. We can't save ourselves. but it's his sacrifice, which he gave himself up on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood for us, that he shed his blood for our struggle. He shed his blood for our sins, that we don't have to live beneath our privilege. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We can become slaves to righteousness and holiness, and righteousness is having a right relationship with him. It's knowing that what you cannot do for yourself, he can do it for you. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13 and 3, except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Repentance, metanoia, it's a change of mind which results in a change of action. You must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then the young people are still arguing about the essentiality of baptism. Jesus said out of his own mouth, Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's where it begins. Galatians 3:27, as Paul says, many of us have been baptized into Christ, have now put on Christ. I put on his disposition. I put on his attitude. I'm learning of him. Jesus says, I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Or maybe you're here this morning and you need prayer. Maybe you've been living beneath your privilege. Maybe you've been making the wrong choices, and you've joined yourself to something. You know, in the prodigal son, when he joined himself, the far country, the Bible says he came to himself. And one way or another, I'm praying this morning as someone will come to yourself and realize that it is no place like the Father's house. And the prodigal son didn't repent when he came to himself. He repent when he arrived back at his father's doorstep. See, there's a lot of people in our churches and in here and out in the world who know they're doing wrong. They'll tell me, you know I should be in church, but they still don't come back to church. I know I'm doing wrong. So just because you know you're doing wrong, that doesn't mean you're going to do right. But when you come back to the Father's house, you say, I got to get reconnected to him. I got to get this back right. It's the return. Repentance is the return. Come back to God. Come back to the Father this morning. And I hope I've said something this morning to encourage somebody along the way. And just to make you think, when you walk out of this building, you got a choice. And I'm not just talking to the young people. What choices did you make or will you make this week that will begin to shape your life for the better or for the worse? And that's something that we all have. And I don't want God to ever take that from me. I'm thankful to God that I got the choice. I'm thankful for the grace that he's allowed me to correct the bad choices and continue to build upon the good ones. We're going to be standing and sing a song of encouragement. If you need to come, why don't you do so while we sing a song.
I'm glad I know you. I'm glad you know.